Okay, so I'm going to start the interview now. Okay. So the first question I'm going to ask is, tell me about a person who has had the greatest influence on your life and what lessons did they teach you?
Greatest influence in my life? I guess my dad. To tell you the truth, he just talked to me about everything. He didn't keep anything back. So I got good advices about life. I like his life. I like the way he lived. And yeah, he was my best. He was a very happy person. He knew how to be happy. He taught me how to be happy. So I think so. I think that was him. That's no one in the media or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just my dad. I'm simple, I guess.
Not simple. Very important.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's the truth. I mean, that's the truth. That he was the one.
He sounds awesome.
Yeah, he was. Thank you.
So, do you want to share any of your childhood memories you have with me? Any happy, sad, fun ones?
Happy, oh, so much. So much, because our childhoods were so different from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And just running out with my friends. We had a very happy, we came back from doing homework and then came back from school, did our homework, and then just got out and play. And then I had two older brothers. So they were always around. So I was free till my father came back like at 7 or 8. He whistled and then we ran back. And so the neighborhood, when we got into the neighborhood that we live, in Mexico, people build their houses. So we were about the first ones. And the park, like you have a community park, but mm-hmm. they were smaller. Actually, my dad and other parents got together and had it made. They actually brought the stuff, brought people to work, and they work on it. So everyone. So in that park, we all hang out together. I mean, we're always like more than 50 or 60 kids at that park. So we have one area, the youngers, the middle, the older one, depending on the... But I was in the same park, but my brothers were there too, although I didn't see them. So I was always protected, although I didn't see them. Even my brothers left... Then his friends came over. We're watching you. Okay. So I always felt protected. We had horses. I mean, there were people that came over and had rental horses. So we rented horses. Then I have one friend that her dad was a trainer of the racetrack. So on the racetrack, they had the fence at the back. It was like those chicken wire.
Yeah.
It was cut on the bottom. So we went going underneath, and I don't know how to say the word, but the caballerangos, the people that take care of the horses, they let us ride the horses. Not the racing horses. Well, the all racing horses. When you walk a horse on a racetrack, they walk it with another horse on the side. And so those are all, you have to run and they need the run.
Yeah.
So it's the work. And so they were very lazy. Say, you want to run? Yes, we'll run it.
That's awesome.
We just had a great, I mean, it was so fast. When you ride those horses, you cannot tilt your head up because you cannot breathe.
Yeah.
Like, well, you don't do that, but we used to take our heads out of the cars when you drive us
yeah.
in the freeways. And you go like, you have to go like this. You go like that, you cannot breathe. The air is just
the
so
air
strong. It's the same with a racing horse. You cannot tilt your head up because you cannot breathe. It's going too fast. It's just, and like that, I can tell you, they were building the houses. So there were like two houses per block, then three, then four, but they have all this dirt. And we have our paths all around the neighborhood for the bicycles.
Yeah.
And so and we had large dogs, but the dogs were all over. So I think, yeah, Mexico's always behind from the States. So I think my childhood was equivalent of the 50s here in the States. So when Jorge tells me, there's a movie, I don't remember the name, but there's a train that there's kids walking. That was my childhood in Tecate with the train, and we race against the train. And all those things that we see on those pictures,
mm-hmm.
That was our childhood, because we have always been behind. Although now it's kind of catching up, but no one.
Yeah.
But that's the way, though, I can tell you tons. Sad, oh, there are... Of course, they share sads, which I want to share to the public. I don't know. Which I want to share to the public. Sad one, well, when my dog died, that was very sad. Oh, I remember. This is a nice... Oh, but I can talk to you forever. And this is only the first...
Go ahead.
We
I love
had,
it.
Oh, we cried. This one, we had... because we were always on the streets. We had, I don't know if Andrea knows this one, our the dogs that you used to have were pointers, they were breed. But because we were always out in the streets, my brother, the middle one, there was this dog, street dog, we call her Lobita. Did I tell you about the Lobita? I think I told you when you were really young, but I'm not supposed to. Okay, so my brother, he used to come, and of course, Lobita, we fed her and everything, and she was always with us, and we brought her home. And my dad was, why you bring this dog? Oh, because Lobita always takes care of us outside, and our dogs were in the house. And okay, so we brought along Lobita and everything, but our fence in Mexico, it's close. It was about this tall, and we opened it. It was open sideways for the car to go in, and then close. But you can see through that they were like white, the iron gate, but you know, not iron gate, it's, well, it's metal work. You push it to the side. And then we bring Lobita, and it was a stumpy little dog like this. She was not nice looking at all. And the other, the pointers were nice dogs. But Lobita, we went out and she would jump. And we're like, oh my God, this, and she taught the other dogs to jump. So that's when they really became outside dogs. The problem was that she will take care of the house so much that in Mexico, you don't drink the water from the faucet. They bring you the water bottles. You know about, you live in Costa Rica. So the water main could not get into the house, not even on the other side of the street, because Lobita will jump at it. She will protect her house so much. My mom was going crazy, this dog, this and that. You have to, I mean, get rid of it. I mean, it's a street dog. No, no, we will cry and everything. And one day they say, she left. She left, she's not around. And we're so sad because she wasn't here. After like, I don't know how long, I don't want to make like 6 months, a year, I don't know how long, but Lobita came back. It was, she's so skinny. She came and then she later almost died. I mean, she was so malnourished and everything. And like, what did you do with Lobita and this and that? And my dad said, this is not possible. She said she took it to Mexicali. She went on a trip, they had to go, and she left it in Mexicali. And Lobita came all the way back to our house. We cried so much. My dad cried so much. Of course, we had to install those water filters in the house. I mean, at that time of day, I mean, I'm kid, whatever. Nothing makes me sick now, because that filter, what, that filter didn't work. And then in Mexico, at that time in Tijuana, the water used to just, we didn't, how do you say in English? It just, for times you didn't have water. So in Mexico, they do, they make these holes on the ground, and it's like a pool, but cover, it's your water. You keep water down there, and you have a pump. So when the water supply for the city stops, that water, it's pumped out, and then you never feel like there's no water. Yeah, but one day they came to clean it, and they were these little black animals. That's the water we drank. From the filter, it was filter, yeah. One of those things you take out and you go with the toothbrush. But I don't get sick, I can go wherever. I don't have any problems with the water. So that was very sad. That was very sad. But those days, you didn't take care of the dogs like you do now. Mm-mm. In Mexico, of course not.
They just do whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. But that was very sad. That's a sad story.
Lupita.
Yeah. That one I could share. It's a fun one.
It's a sad
one. It's a sad one, huh?
Yeah.
Sad and funny and sweet and, yeah.
And impressive, because she went all
that way.
It is
impressive. It is impressive. I mean, how did she?
It's
crazy.
She
must have got,
And she knows the way home.
Yeah, she got, I mean, she must have gotten a ride somehow, for some reason. Yeah. She must have gotten in a car and ended up in Tijuana, or at least they got it, because from Mexicali, she couldn't have. It's not possible.
So far.
But even though, I mean, take out what, I mean, she made it back. She was a stray dog. And from then on, when she died, we buried her at home. Yeah, at the backyard. So she's there. We sold the house. It is there.
One day they're just going to start digging.
No. We're not going to dig her out.
So sad.
It is.
Okay, that's awesome. How would you like people to remember you?
I guess loving person. Not really. I don't care how people remember me.
Okay.
You know, I just wanna, especially my family, I just wanna put some good energy into the world. There's too much bad. So I hope, especially my kids, that they are kids that put out and just be happy people that don't hurt anyone, and if they can make out good, that would be great. I don't think you have to go out of your way. Just, I always teach them, you know, be good to people. We go out in Mexico sometimes, you know, help direct. To us, it's like, you don't have to get in companies, or, I mean, people that, especially in Mexico, foundations and stuff, they're tricky. But, we go so much to Mexico. We see so many poor people direct. I mean, just groceries in Mexico in your bag. These people are working, they have schedule, and they make solid. That's often. So you can, it's not an event thing. It's a way of living. Help, when you go, we go eat to Mexico, give a good tip. I mean, these people are working, everyone has to have a life, but it doesn't have to be hard. It's just a way of life, right? How do they think of me? I guess I care how they think of me. That's but so people, sweet.
I think you're doing good.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. It's cool. It's really cool. So, you already told me where you grew up and what your childhood was like, and I think it was really cool, and I wish my childhood was like that. Do you want to tell me about the time when you found out you're going to be a mother?
How
did you feel?
Well, we were trying. Yeah, no, it was great. It was just, we didn't try. We were lucky because second month we tried, Daniel came. So we waited. I didn't marry young. We married at 30. And then, we finished school and I was independent. I don't know if it's right or not, but nowadays it's always required more to be ready for kids and for family. So it's putting up the age to the point that Andrea was my miracle. I was not supposed to have my second one because we put it off. And sometimes I go, you know what? I don't know. I have my doubts about that. I hope it doesn't take him as long too. Well, for me it was different. It took me more different circumstances to finish. But from Mexico, the school is longer. Then I came over here and it took me longer because then I had my papers, but then I had to put residency to move to San Diego because I pay as non-resident in Southwestern College, which is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to San Diego State, I had papers and everything. I was legal, but then it's residency. So for me, Southwestern College was $2,000 over there. I think it was $5,000. It was a lot. It was like not resident, like foreign student. So it was a lot of money. So it took me a while to I could pay non-resident here, but I didn't want to pay non-resident in San Diego State. So until I had all that, so I killed time. And I worked and I got experience and everything, but I finished too late. And then I wasn't going to marry just anyone. My friends, but don't you hate to be alone? No, but I want this and that and that and this and that. That doesn't exist, Sylvia. Well, I'll wait until 30 some, then I'll think about it. I'll have a baby. But till now, I want the whole packet. I want everything I want. Thank God it came.
Yeah.
So it was late. And so, and then we married and said, no, we'll wait 3 years. So my brother was saying, my father, you're going to have grandchildren. What are you doing? I want nephews. And 3 years is a good time. But thank God, 2 months, Daniel came. So,
2 months.
So we wait. But I mean, it came fast. Now I know. But we were desperate for him because mm-hmm. we had hold off for 3 years. So yeah, we both jumped and we were trying. And of course I was checking all the time if I was pregnant and everything. Super exciting. It's great to have a baby like that.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
What are your most vivid memories of school?
Oh, school. Most vivid.
Good, bad memories.
It's so different every school. Mm-hmm. I guess. That's a story. It's over my grade school. It was a nun. It was Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all girls. We had so much fun this time. We were playing outside and we were waiting each other with everyone. I don't remember with what buckets. I don't know if they fill up balloons. But the thing is, only one friend and I were not wet. And we knew everyone is coming after us. What are we going to do? We cannot get wet. So we ran to the classroom to get to hide in the classroom. Ooh. We said, no, they're going to come. And you know what? They wouldn't let us do. And oh my God. In Mexico, the law, supposedly, it was not supposed to be religious. It's like, I think it's the same. I don't know. So they had this furniture, this armoire, where they had a picture of the Virgin Mary. And we'll pray to her at noon, and they will open it and close it for us to pray. Let's hide there. And so we went, and it was the drawer, and it was up. So we opened the armor and got at the bottom, kneeling over there, so they wouldn't notice that we were there. And so when class started, we'll get out. But the teacher came in before the bell rang, and we're like, she's here, we cannot get out. And then everything, the class started, we were inside. Oh my God, we're like, not possible. And so the class started, and my friend and I got all silly and started to laugh. You know that laugh that you cannot stop,
it's very low.
And so they were squeezing, they were like, oh no. So a lot of the friends that sat at the back, they noticed we were there, so they started coughing. So the teacher wouldn't hear us because we were laughing, and everyone at the back said, oh my God, we had such a laugh until the teacher, where is Sylvia and Betty? And everyone was, oh no, and they started laughing and laughing. All of a sudden, she opens the door, she cracked up. Like, she was laughing so much. The good thing, she was a nun. She was the English teacher, and she was not a nun. She goes, you guys, go back and see this. And she was laughing. She couldn't believe. We came out so red because it was a tight. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, I remember that one. I have a lot of that. It was a lot of fun. That was all girls. Growing up, all girls in a school. It's fun too.
That's so funny.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we were like, we're about your age because we were in seventh or eighth. Middle school. Yes.
That's so cool.
It is, isn't it?
I love that story. That's so amazing.
It was fun.
That was awesome. Oh, this is a question that I really want to know because I need to make money. So what jobs did you have as a teenager, and what did you do with the money that you made?
What jobs? Well, my father had a store, so we had to work with him. Oh, it was not something that... It was great. On weekends, I will help him. It was a store at Revolution, and so he would like to get out with the employees and sell out and not be at the register, especially on the weekends when it got heavy. So on weekends, like from noon to 3, we will go and help. I would just go on the register. But that's what made me outgoing, because people walk by, if you need anything, I'm here. It was hard in high school that you kind of, because you're a kid and you're very open. Then you come to the teenage year where you don't want to too much to other, not you, but most other. And so he'll say, you have to talk to them, this and that. It made me come out of the shell and be talkative to people. And what did I do with the money? You know what? I didn't make extra money. I've never been a person that spends money. On the contrary, I always had money. My dad got mad at me. Spend the money, buy some clothes. Oh yeah, I'm gonna buy. I used to accumulate too much on my drawer because he gave me for the weekends to go shopping with my friends. And shopping has never been my thing, really. So it just accumulated. I didn't spend it. And he will see me with the same clothes. Go buy some clothes, look the way. Just go and buy something. So I don't know. Money was never an issue.
Yeah.
So thank God. Actually, we were not rich. For Mexico standards, I guess we were well off.
Yeah.
But whatever I wanted, I got. And if I wanted something, but I was never someone that will want
more, like take advantage of it.
No. So it was really.
That's awesome.
I didn't think about the money.
That's really good. And I guess that did make you outgoing. That's a good job to have.
Yes. I mean, customer service is great. Uh-huh. Maybe you don't need it. You need.
I think I'd like it.
I think you're good for customer service, to take in people, to have not only customer service, but also making them happy. Things about hospitality, mm-hmm. Careers that involves really getting along with people, mm-hmm. communicating, not being on an office by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my kind of job.
Yeah, for definitely. Sure. I believe it.
If you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you or would you not, and why?
Teenage years are always the hard ones. But you know what? Before that, you know what? I didn't care about money, too. Things about that. Because on my time, childhood, we were not that materialistic. Mm-hmm. There were no iPhones. Yeah. We always had playing. Maybe that's why... Parents, they didn't have so many things to do out. They just got together in houses. There were not so many things to do. So really, I guess that's why nowadays, brands, we had the brands. At that time, that was Jordan. But we just had those. I didn't know there were other ones. Everyone around me had that, and everyone went to those stores, which there were not that many, you know? So maybe that's why I also didn't want stuff. And teenage years, yes, I will leave them again. I'll leave them again. I think I'm out of those. Thank God I'm out of those. That was hard. That was the hardest part, I guess. Growing up, my dad liked me with very short hair. Yeah. I didn't like it. He used to, you have this beautiful hair, but your neck is small. It's not that long. Yeah, it was very thin. No, it wasn't. It's still not that, but it was worse. I had a TMJ that somehow my posture was not that good. And when they fixed my TMJ, my posture got better, but I had less neck. And so he bugged me so much that I cut it short. And I look at my mirror and I was like, oh, it was awful. So I think I went in a kind of a depression. I got bigger. I didn't like. But it was fun though. I went to a fun school and people around me was fun. But those are insecure years.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now I look back and oh my God, I mean, I was loved around. There was so much fun in the high school. We were spoiled. We were spoiled. But they are insecure years. They are definitely insecure years. Mm-hmm. So, and I grew up in, high school. Yeah, I was thinking high school, it's prep. I was thinking secundaria. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just that that time, it's insecure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is hard. And my short hair didn't help me. But looking back, we had lots of fun. I had great friends and we thought we were so grown, yeah. And mature and adult, and we were not.
Yeah.
To me it was better afterwards, because I grew up in a very close-knit society, and everything has to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And we all went to the same places, and it was good if all of us were there. If the people were not, and used to behave a certain way and not laugh too hard and just laugh properly, it came to a point that everything was a certain way. We're also similar, and I love it, just when the, I mean, but I like it better when I came here, because people were different. It doesn't have to be everything. And I love that too. I love that way, but I love that. I don't know, I felt freer. And I hang out with the same people that came over here. We still hang out most of the time. But because you kind of connect. You have same histories, and you think about the same, the way you are raised. But we felt freer from that pressure.
Yeah.
You have to behave this way. Everything has to be this way and that way. Somehow you can't be yourself. And over here, we're still the same way. We were raised that way. Yeah.
Feel free. Have more freedom.
Some freedom, that's all. This, you don't have to do. You cannot do that. You cannot. It's like, you don't find yourself.
Yeah.
And over here, it's like, we find ourselves. I don't know. But I think everyone, talking about my friends, those are insecure years. Everyone was like that. Now we think, no, I thought this. What? But you were so beautiful. I thought I was so skinny. And the other one, I thought, oh my God, you were so skinny. You were a Barbie. But I thought I was like a spider. All you know, everyone was insecure at that age. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can relate today.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's see. Here's a political question.
Oh my God. Okay.
What advice would you give a first-time voter?
To think. Not just go for the looks and stuff. Think what the people stands for and listen to what they say they're gonna do. And if you can check out if they're true or they're worth. Because they can say whatever.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not easy. That is not easy. It's getting harder and harder. People have agendas. So that's getting harder and harder.
It's definitely getting harder.
And if it doesn't come your way, that's okay. Because that's what democracy is. And that's what's important. Not that who you want to be, whatever president, whatever, is the one that comes up. No, the thing is that the majority decides. That's what's important.
So you got to be a good voter.
Oh, yes.
You got to be a good sport.
Oh, yeah. You live in a society here in the States that you have to appreciate it. I mean, I am so much happy. I love Mexico. But it's going through rough times. I mean, the government, it's awful. People, no, I don't. Over here, I remember here in Eastlake, they were going to make these buildings behind Sprouts. We saw the sign, and we told people around, we made these flyers, and we went to the, long story short, we stopped.
Really?
Yes, we stopped it.
That's awesome.
Yes, I couldn't believe it. In Mexico, you cannot do that. It was awful. I mean, they were going to put this apartment, like buildings, behind Sprouts and some, the pink houses where it's like start. So the kids were going to come to this school. To me, it was awful. They were going to walk by the lake, where there's the lagoon and the pool that is like a beach. And they're going to walk through a place that is private. They're not supposed to, but who cares? But look at all that they cannot go into.
Yeah.
You don't do that. And then go to East Lake Elementary where they do all their parties and they're at the pools because they all can go there. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't be able to. How can you do that to kids?
You can't.
No. That was my thing. Others were the traffic and so, but they were imposing themselves there. And so we had to go even to the city and the group representing East Lake community and this and that. And they stop and they're going to do storages. So that's fine. And you cannot do that in Mexico. No. You cannot. So, yes, this is where our kids are going to live in. We are very lucky. The rest of the world is not like this.
Uh-uh.
You got to protect it.
Do you think that since when you were younger, you had so much freedom, do you think that kind of is shown when you're trying to give freedom to your kids? And that's what makes you want to stop it because you want them to have the same freedom that you did?
Never thought of it that way, but it might be. I mean, I just saw people, when we were young, we heard comments, oh, Tijuana. It's like, we're like, what are they talking about? It yeah. wasn't like that. There was one street that was the bad street of TJ, which I still haven't walked by. I know where it is. I've never done, but that gave him that name to TJ. And of course, and it was close to Revolution on that side. But the childhood that we had, it's, I guess every generation is scared of the next generation because things keep on changing and changing and changing. And, but they're also good coming. To me, I mean, the internet, I don't think anything is bad. It's life and you make the good. Everything brings good and bad. You decide what you take. So communication is good. There's bad things on the internet, but also communicating people. So it's just another means of communication. So the freedom, but the question I went off track.
It's okay.
No, I guess just growing up and notice how things started to change and notice how we call it, I'll say it over there, el que no tranza no avanza. It's like, you know that, right? Like, yeah. If you're not in the game, you're not gonna do well. And it's like, no, I like to live in a way. I want to just work and go to sleep and really sleep, you know, and still have a comfortable living. I don't need to be rich, but be comfortable where my kids are safe, they have what they need, and have a normal life. And it seemed like, and in Mexico, it's getting harder to do that. So I had a good life. My father had an honest work, and he gave us that. And I look at myself and I said, it's not that easy nowadays to keep up. It's, you have to get in the game.
Yeah, you do.
And it's like, get in the game, it's not me. It's just not, and then tell your kids, you gotta be smart and get on the game, because if not, you're gonna not have it good. I didn't want to teach that. So yeah, you had, it's, the rest of the world is not like this, so yeah, we better vote and get protected.
Yeah.
Because this is a good life.
Yeah, it is a good life.
It's a good life.
Very so, lucky to live
so
here.
So I appreciate it, and yes, we have to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully everyone gets it too.
Sure. When you were growing up, what role did religion play in your life?
Oh, big.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was the nuns. My parents, I don't think they were so religious. My dad was not religious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said he was, because he was Mason, right? For some time. He said he wasn't, but he always, when he got into the store, he will persinarse.
Yeah.
All the time. It's like, so you're not religious. It wasn't that. It's that the Catholic Church has made big mistakes. So my dad, as a young person, saw some things that the church did that he didn't like. In Mexico, almost everyone is Catholic.
Yeah.
So he didn't like that. So it's not that he was not, because he did pray.
Yeah.
He did talk to God. He signed the cross in the mornings. And he behaved like a religious person. He was a very good person. He always helped out. And he was, although he didn't go to church. My mom, I don't think she wasn't that religious either. It's just, what I see that is bad about Catholicism is that against Protestants, it comes from the same. Protestant and most are Catholics over there. Protestants read the Bible. Catholics, they don't read it. They like them dumb. And the thing is that even Mass was in Latin on our parents' times. It was Latin. I was taught Latin. I prayed in Latin still at my Catholic school.
Whoa.
Some of my prayers were in Latin. And we don't speak Latin. Why do we pray in Latin? You know? And so I think it comes from the same. To me, that's what I thought, Andrea. I told her, you know what? To me, religion is like language. There are different languages. Spanish, English. Religions are a language to speak to God. And you can pray to God in a religion. I don't care. Just stay with what we taught you. Just to me, well, but I went. Okay, the question was, so it was very important, but the nuns are the ones, they gave me that religion.
Mm-hmm.
And now I impose it because we crash. Because my dad, they put me to this school because it was this school. Because you had to go to the best school to get the best education.
Yeah.
And the best school in Tijuana was Catholic. So we went to Catholic schools because they were the best schools. But my dad always said, oh, but watch out for the priest, okay? Because you don't go along with the priest. And watch out. So, because priests have done bad things.
Yeah.
And so there was, and he used to tell me, and the Pope, he has all this money, and this, so be smart. Religion is good, but the people make big mistakes. So he was always smart. And so the nuns made me, you have to write, and I will be being truthful. So I put, yeah, I believe in religion, but I don't believe in all the, what's me? I will put everything. I mean, I started there. I mean, I was 6 years old, seven, all my life. I mean, we have the same friends. Over there, you start in kindergarten, mm-hmm. you finish high school with the same friends, in the same groups.
Wow.
So even if my parents didn't want me, those nuns raised me. Because I'm with them.
All the time.
All the time. I mean, they're... So it was, and now I think back, there were women with so much love. So much love. They didn't care. I mean, I will put all of that, and they were kind of shocked. Now I think back, because sometimes I felt like they were cold, and I knew what I was putting, but that's, you're asking me?
You're asking me, so you're just going
to
answer.
So I have to answer, right? I mean, it's like, we're talking about a child. And so I grew up with that relationship with them. And, but yeah, they taught me about the love of God. But my dad also made me very open-minded. But yeah, I very much believe I am, I guess, between my friends, I guess, they call him mochas, the ones that are very religious. I'm there. I'm very religious. But I'm also open-minded. Very religious that I do have a strong connection with God. I do, I feel, and I tell it to my kids, you know, he's my friend, he's my doctor, he listens to me, and he tells me stuff, he protects me, and takes me, and you know, and guides me, and I also, and what I love here is all the religions, and I always tell him, just, it's a language to God, but to me, receive God, because they give us the hostia, I don't know how I call it hostia, communion.
Oh yeah.
We receive communion every day at my school. And it's strong. I'm not going to tell in public, but I had some rough times. My family had some rough times. And the way the nuns, because you're so innocent when you're young. And when they tell you, you really believe everything. That's the time to tell you things, not when you're older. It's hard when you're older.
Yeah.
You have to maybe be very hit hard on life to really understand things. But what they did is they taught me how to pray, how to talk to God. So since I'm very young, every night I've talked to him like my best friend. And so that has been, I guess the most important thing in my life to have that. I cannot hurt that relationship. You know that.
Oof.
Yeah, that's the most real. Things I do that I don't want to do, but oh, I have to do it because I'm not going to break my relationship.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, but I think it's all this, it's everything. I just not people that pray to. As long as the religion is good, it's languages you pray to. There are different ways. To me, and tell the truth. Like the Hindus, they say no, they don't eat the cows. The Jewish don't eat the pork. I tell kids, you know, I think God has communicated with the human beings always, but depending on the stage of men in the area, different religions have come out, but
yeah.
They all have truth. And pork is not good for us. And it turns out that meat is getting to be bad. And everyone has truth. Every religion has truth.
That's beautiful.
But you have to have your religion. You have to. You have to. God has to be your friend. You have to have him in your life. If not, you're lost. Totally. Yeah. So it was very important.
That was amazing. Yeah. I'm blown away right now. All right. I think, do you have any other stories you want to tell me?
No. It's good. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's amazing. All right.
I didn't know you were going to.